Our reading for today is from 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that He is born concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life, to those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Now, when we left off in chapter 4, we were discussing, first of all, in the early part of the chapter, testing all the spirits, test to see whether they are from God. Then in verse 7, he started this conversation about love. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Then we get down into verse 13. It says, this we know, that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given of us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. So that love and that belief and that modeling after God and modeling after Jesus is all interconnected. Verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. We cannot be a type of person that hates and still be of God. The two do not coexist. They don't go together. Then when he started our reading for this morning in chapter 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Now, there are those that like to find that word believe and then apply that in a very superficial sense, because they think, well, belief is just, you know, I believe that He exists and that's enough, and so then I'm saved or I'm born of God or whatever they're taking at the moment. But understand that John is implying much more than just, I believe that Jesus exists. You've got to tie all of these contexts together and realize that, yes, he's talking about believing He exists. Yes, he's talking about believing that He came to this earth and that He died for our sins and that He's the propitiation for our sins. And in addition to that, he's describing how we must also be born of God. We must love everybody. We must not hate. That would make us a liar. And these are marks of a Christian. So it's not just belief, but it's modeling ourselves after Christ, being true disciples that learn and put into practice those things that are of Christ. So when we started off chapter 5, with everyone who believes that Jesus Christ, the Christ, has been born of God, he's connecting that with what he's already said in the previous context. And so by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So now he's added the obey the commandments in there, but it was already implied with the belief. It's not separate thoughts, but they're actually inclusive of each other. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If we love God, it's automatic. It's automatic that you will want to keep his commandments. And he makes this very important statement. His commandments are not burdensome. Yes, God is going to require of you to make sacrifices. Yes, God is going to require of you to make some hard choices, and some of those are going to be painful. You're going to have to pay a cost to be a Christian. But what he's saying is, when we truly love God and want to keep his commandments, then they're not burdensome, because the love gives us the joy of keeping those commandments. And so it's much greater than the pain of whatever we have to make choices about in our particular lives. Verse 4, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And so by doing all of these things, acting out our faith in God, we true believers, then yes, we overcome the world, and not by our own power, but by the power of Jesus the Christ, the Lamb of God. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Then we get into verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. When he says that he came by water and the blood and the Spirit testifies, there's a few different ideas about what he's talking about water. One is that the water is a representation of purity. That's a relation to his life. Others think that this is referring to the baptism of Jesus. And you had the dove that came down, the Holy Spirit that signified to John the Baptist that Jesus was the Christ. I think more likely, though, that this is a connection along the same lines as Peter uses in 1 Peter chapter 3, when he draws that connection with the global flood and the time of Noah and baptism. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, baptism does now also save you, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That was the conclusion of his discourse regarding baptism and Noah. So, verse 7, there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son. And the testimony is all the works that Jesus did. The testimony is God breaking the silence of heaven and saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. All the way to the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus. So there's plenty of evidence that Jesus is who he claimed to be by God. And of course, the Spirit was continuing to work at this time, testifying of the truth. Verse 10, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God is born concerning his Son. So refusing to accept the testimony is, in essence, as he's saying, calling God a liar. And of course, God is not a liar. Verse 12, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Maybe that's a connection with that thought I've shared with you about water being the representation of life. I can't give you a definitive answer on that if you're looking for one, but I've given you my thoughts on it. Verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. But John here does very similar to what he does in the Gospel of John, which is, to say, this is why I'm writing this. This is the goal. This is what I'm trying to bring you to. And so verse 13, he's giving that. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Seems like he's switched gears, but remember, as children of God, we have a special privilege to approach God in prayer and to make those petitions of him. Verse 15, if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. God answers in the affirmative when it's for our good, when it's according to his will. Verse 16, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. This one is another verse in which people wonder exactly what John is talking about. I think quite simply he's just talking about the idea of sin that you're willing to repent over and sin that you want to stay in, sin that you want to keep on committing. And if we're willing to repent of sin, then we can be forgiven. But if we're not willing to repent, then we can't gain forgiveness. And we shouldn't be praying for forgiveness for a sin that people will not repent of. That ties in with verse 17 that says all wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. That's sin that we don't want to commit and that we repent of. Verse 18, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. Well, remember in chapter 1, he talked about how we all do sin, but we can be forgiven of that sin. So he's just saying that as we walk in the light, we're trying not to sin. But he who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. That is to not take away his salvation. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is pure, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And then he ends with this quick thought, little children, keep yourselves from idols, which is really the idea of follow the one true and living God. Don't be pulled away. Don't fall into something else. Make sure of what you're truly following, following the one true and living God. And you notice that John doesn't spend the time that Paul does at the end of his letters to give some closing thoughts and, you know, talk about maybe some people that they know, those types of things. John ends his letter pretty abruptly. That's, I assume, just his personality with the end of the letter. He accomplished his goal, and so he was done. Thank you for listening today. Come back tomorrow for another reading, and we will look at 2 John. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.